The journey to war and the intelligence the Bush administration used to make its case is the subject of a story in today's New York Times. Douglas Gell reports that the Bush administration's pre-war claims about ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda were based in part on intelligence gathered from a prisoner who later said he lied to avoid harsh treatment. The prisoner, Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi, provided the information after U.S. officials secretly sent him to Egypt for further interrogation under a process known as rendition. Gell says al-Libi was a member of Osama bin Laden's inner circle at the time of the 9/11 attacks.
He ran a training camp in Afghanistan and was captured in Pakistan in December 2001. At the time of his capture, he was the highest-ranking al-Qaeda member in American custody.
And what information did he provide and then later recant?
What he told his debriefers in February 2002 was that al-Qaeda had sent members to Iraq for training in chemical weapons and explosives. This claim was seized on by the Bush administration as the principal bulwark for its argument that not only had there been ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda, but that those ties extended to discussion and training in illicit weapons.
And this information, then, was cited in the administration in the build-up to the invasion of Iraq?
We never heard Mr. Libby's name from President Bush, Vice President Cheney, or anyone else, but we heard his voice repeated again and again. We heard President Bush say that there's credible evidence that Iraq has provided training in poison gases and explosives to al-Qaeda. Secretary Powell said the same thing to the United Nations. This was the strongest evidence the administration had of ties between Iraq and al-Qaeda that might involve unconventional weapons.
Why did he recant? What reason did he give?
When he recanted in January 2004, when he was back in American custody, he said that he had made up the information to get better treatment from his Egyptian interrogators.
So he recants the statement. The CIA withdraws the intelligence based on his remarks. Does that at all change the assertions made by the administration?
The administration went silent on the question of Iraq-Al-Qaeda ties involving illicit weapons, beginning in about February 2004, at the time of al-Libi's recantation. It wasn't until July 2004, with the 9/11 report, that we first got a hint that this recantation had existed. And the details of this odyssey of Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi have really been emerging for the last year and a half.
And before the CIA actually withdrew their intelligence, were there people raising flags about this?
There were. We learned last month in a declassified document from the Defense Intelligence Agency that that agency had indeed, at the outset, said that it was probable that Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi was inventing the information. There have also been questions raised by the Senate Intelligence Committee and others about whether the CIA was too credulous in believing al-Libi's account and whether it should not have warned policymakers more specifically that this information was perhaps not credible, had been obtained while al-Libi was in the custody of a foreign government and might well have been coerced.
And what does all this say about the current administration's use and reliance on third-party countries to conduct these interrogations?
American intelligence officials will say you're going down a risky road when you allow others to conduct interrogations for you. Ideally, you'd always like to be in the room. You'd like to know the context. That information is considered more reliable. What this tells us about rendition is that one needs to be particularly skeptical of an account given to a foreign government.
And what happened to Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi?
We don't know. Al-Libi was returned to American custody in February 2003. He was first in the American Detention Center in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Whether he is still there, or whether, as seems more likely, he has been transferred to one of the CIA detention centers in a location around the world that the agency won't disclose, is uncertain. But neither the CIA nor any other agency will address questions about his whereabouts.
Douglas Gell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Douglas Gell is a reporter for the New York Times.